You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, you know I am a connoisseur of reality TV.
Yes, you are a purveyor of the fine craft of reality television.
Mm-hmm. I like to watch multiple reality TV shows.
With a glass of sherry and a slice of cheese.
Last night it was The Masked Singer. Should I give a spoiler about who it was, or did you watch it? Are you going to watch it?
Nah, The Masked Singer. It's like, it's just celebrities hiding in costumes, isn't it?
It was actually a good celebrity. It was kind of... Well, last night, the one that got revealed had a Wikipedia page, which I define as having a good celebrity.
Don't you have one? Have you got one of them?
No.
Nah, we should get one.
I know.
We should do one.
I don't think you can just get one. I think you have to be famous first.
Nah, you don't.
You can't just have a Wikipedia for old mate Terry down the road.
There's an idea.
What?
If we can find someone that wants a Wikipedia page apart from us, turn them into a celebrity.
If you want a Wikipedia page, get in touch with Simo.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
But no, I do want to talk about reality TV because the Australian Academy of Cinema and Television Arts, also known as ACTA, have announced that if you can come up with an idea for a brand new reality TV show, they'll give you $50,000.
Ah, so that's like 50 grand for the winner, effectively.
Yeah, right? So it's a competition to come up with the best concept for a new reality TV show.
So is the 50 grand go to the winner of whoever comes up with it, or is that what they're offering as the prize of your concept?
No. So that goes to the winner of whoever comes up with it.
Ooh, I'm into that.
So all you have to do is write down your idea on a page, no more than a page,
yep,
and submit it by Sunday, the 4th of October.
Yeah.
It does cost $50 to enter, which is a bit strange. I haven't noticed a lot of things that cost money to enter like this, but...
Fundraising, mate. That's how it works.
Oh, there you go. And then if your concept is picked, $50,000... is yours.
So have you got a couple of ideas?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Simo, because yes, I do.
Why am I not surprised? What do you got? What are you thinking?
Well, I've only got one idea so far, but yeah. I reckon you only need one. So I reckon you got this is the big one.
That's what they taught us at school. Good ideas. Nah, I only ever needed one.
Yeah.
I only ever needed
exactly.
One.
Well, if you have one good idea for this.
Newton, Einstein, all the great celebrity scientists only ever had one good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Simo, let's have a look at what reality TV is at the moment. So there's various cooking shows.
That's right.
There's various shows where you look to find love.
That Ninja Warrior, though, is pretty full on. I think that one's... Is that kind of... They have a massive prize win for that one. It's like 500 grand or something.
Yeah, but I don't
crazy
think...
Crazy money.
Yeah, but I remember the first season of it when no one actually won it.
Yeah, right. Oh, really? Can that happen?
Yeah, because they don't make it. I think they still get the money, but they didn't make it to the end of the course or something.
Because it's like, that's
like that.
One thing that, you know, beautiful, attractive, strong, ripped people need is more money.
Exactly.
Let's give them some more.
Exactly, Simo. So reality TV, cooking, finding love, like you say, being super fit.
Yeah.
Singing, there's loads of singing shows.
So you think you can dance? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was.
Solid.
That's left us pretty quickly. So, Simo, what I thought we'd do, why don't we just combine them all?
Yep.
Combine them all, get all the concepts of every single reality TV show, put them all into one super show, and then you're bound to win.
Is that what you'd call it, the super show?
Yeah, the super show.
Jordan's super show.
Yeah, that sounds a bit pretentious.
You wouldn't put your name on it.
Nah, not at this stage.
Fine.
Maybe whoever wins the next season, we'd name it after them.
Okay, good.
So if you go on and you win the show, well, next Simo's, season two is Simo's super show. But Simo, yeah, so the contestants will have to cook
right
whilst trying to find love,
yeah,
whilst singing, whilst being stuck on an island like Survivor, and the whole time they're wearing a mask, so we have to try and guess who they are.
Yeah, it's very overly complicated. I think the...
Very overly complicated, but brilliant, I feel.
The kitchen and the finding love, I think, goes well.
Because
they always say, what is it? The route to a man's heart is through his stomach. Is that the saying?
Mm.
Yeah. Not the literal route. You know, you don't like need to kind of like cut them in half or anything like that and dice them... Dice them up.
But if you did do that, it would be a ratings win for Jordan's Super Show.
100%.
Simo and Jordan.
Now, the flies are back.
Oh, are they?
Have you noted this?
I haven't had an encounter with flies just as of yet.
Right.
But, yes, this is concerning.
How do you deal with them? Have you got a swatter, a sprayer, or a zapper?
No, I tend to get really angry with them.
Yeah.
And, like, try to, if one lands there, I'll try and smack it. And then it always just seems to fly away just before you hit it.
Well, do you know what the trick is with flies? My dad taught me this. So when they fly, they actually fly straight up.
Yeah.
So you don't want to... Don't slap in a downward direction.
Okay.
Right? So you get your two hands either side.
Yeah.
And then you bring them together.
Right.
Right? And that means the fly can't see you coming.
So okay.
They always fly up from a surface unless your hand is coming down. Because then the air of your hand coming down will push them away. Whereas if you go from each side and bring your hands together like you're clapping in an audience, that will ensure that you can stun said fly and live in peace.
I feel your dad has a lot of time on his hands.
Look.
Also, I feel if flies are listening to this, kind of going, oh, hang on, all we have to do is just fly down and then you'll be fine.
Jeez. No, it's okay, because the high percentage of people are still doing it the rookie way.
Okay, well, I'll try that. I'll try hitting over on top of the fly, where the fly's going to go.
From each side, your hands together in a clapping like a...
All right, we've talked too much about how to kill flies.
in a walrus-type motion, a seal, in a seal... Seal-type clapping motion.
Oh, as if a seal was clapping its fins
Correct.
Together.
Seal, notoriously great fly killers.
God, imagine if like a whole lot of seals went to a theatre performance and right at the end there were some flies flying around and all the seals started clapping.
Dead.
Mass apocalypse of flies.
Well, you know, that's one way. We should pitch that to the Oz government. Canberra's not far away.
Yeah.
If there's a fly problem.
What are we pitching?
just get a seal in every household.
Yeah. I'm sure ScoMo doesn't have any other bigger issues at the moment to deal with. Not like there's that pandemic thing happening.
Seal in every household, never have to worry about flies again.
But then you could get the wrong seal. You could get the singer seal.
Oh, true.
All of a sudden, he'll rock up in your house. Seal, what are you doing, mate?
Just one.
You had one song 20 years ago. Somehow you were on X Factor or The Voice or whatever that as a judge. Just go away.
Just one unlucky recipient. Just only one seal.
It's the actual seal.
So the reason I bring up flies is because a dude has blown up his house trying to deal with a fly.
Was it Seal?
No, it wasn't Seal, but it was a different... is he French? No.
I think he's English.
Yeah, he's... It sounds French, though. La Seal.
I mean, he doesn't, but...
Put la in the front of it and away you go.
Yeah, but put la in the front of everything and anything sounds French.
So this guy...
Go to Bunnings and get la sausage in bread. It sounds French.
So this guy blew up his house with a... I didn't know these existed, but it's a electric fly swatter.
Right.
Have you heard of these?
Well, if they can blow up, it's probably not the best marketing campaign for them.
Well, I don't think they realise this, but it's shaped like a...
What a thing to miss.
It's shaped like
when you're on the packaging, FYI, this could blow up half of your house. I'd like to know that before I purchase the product, please.
So it's shaped like a tennis racket.
Okay. Hey, Simo, fancy a game of tennis? Yeah, I'll just get my racket. Hopefully I don't grab the wrong thing.
So...
Roger Federer playing in the US Open or something just with an electric fly swatter.
So
Novak Djokovic got kicked out of the US Open the other day for accidentally hitting a ball at an umpire. Imagine what would have happened if he used an electric fly swatter
to
electrocute the official.
This particular individual, he picked up the electric fly swatter. He took aim. He missed the fly, but there was apparently a gas cylinder leaking in his house.
Oh.
It blew up his kitchen, shot off the roof, and the guy somehow managed to get away with just a burn to his hand.
Okay, I take back everything I said about electric fly swatters.
Yeah.
It's clearly the gas leak. That is what has caused... Yeah, do you have a gas leak in your house and not realise?
Also, I've got I do now have the review for the electric fly swatter.
Oh, wait, has this guy left a review or is this just from someone
it's
else?
It's just from someone else. I think it might need amending.
Imagine if this guy wrote a review. Well, on the good side, it did kill the fly.
Well, actually, in the article, it does state that it is unknown what happened to the fly.
Oh, no, so the fly could have got... That must be the most smart-ass fly ever.
So the review reads, electric fly swatter is safe to use indoors... is it? Or outdoors.
Well, technically his house isn't indoors anymore, so...
Great for parties, barbecues, camping.
Who goes to this party's great. Everyone brought out their electric fly swatters.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, with COVID-19, lots of people have been kind of... running marathons in unique ways.
Yeah, there was that guy that did a marathon inside his own hotel room, just in like an L shape for like hours on end.
Just going back and forth for the 42 kilometres, I think it is off the top of my head.
Some pretty phenomenal like mental strength as well as physical.
There's other people who have just done it on their balcony of their apartment, just maybe they've got a 5 metre or so balcony and just going back and forth.
Yeah.
And Simo, I want to add to that this guy who has run a marathon at 36,000 feet.
Oi.
Now, he has done it with the help of an aeroplane, which he happened to be flying on at the time. He wasn't just jumping 36,000 feet in the air and somehow running a marathon.
I assume this would be, was it a full aeroplane of people?
No.
Right, okay.
So this guy, he is a cabin crew as well, and he was flying on a flight from Atlanta to London Heathrow.
Oh.
Henry Curl is his name. He's 25 and works as a air host.
Henners.
His cabin crew.
Hmm.
He didn't run the whole marathon because experts warned him apparently running a whole marathon at that altitude is dangerous.
Yeah, super dangerous.
Is it? Did you know that?
Intriguing because he's within, I don't know, there's a whole bunch of science talk to be done because he's inside like a capsule.
A pressurized cabin.
Yeah, but like naturally at altitude, obviously, like the air's thinner.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, there's like, someone called Mythbusters, you'd need those two boys to blow something up and then work out whether or not it was dangerous.
Hopefully not the aeroplane. But Simo, just to be on the safe side, next time I am on an aeroplane, I won't run a marathon.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Just to be safe.
Yeah, fair cool.
So this guy, but he did manage to run a half marathon, which was deemed safe, which is 13 miles.
Right. Just up and down the aisles.
Just up and down the plane, going back and forth. It took him 2 hours and 37 minutes to complete this marathon.
Yeah.
And he did raise some money for breast cancer awareness, which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
As well. But Simo, if you're a passenger on the aeroplane and a member of the cabin crew was running back and forth, up and down the cabin for 2.5 hours during your flight on a scale of 1 to 1,000, how annoyed would you be?
Wouldn't you be a little bit panicked? You'd be a little bit worried, wouldn't you?
You'd be panicked at first, and then after about half an hour, you're like, oh, I don't care.
Wow, okay. I feel like if he continually runs up and back through the plane without telling you anything...
Yeah, I hope it's worth at least a message over the PA. By the way, just we'll be cruising at 36,000 feet.
The weather is quite beautiful today, as you will see outside your window. Now, if you look within the plane along the aisles...
Yes, you may have noticed one of our cabin crew is wearing sneakers, and that is because he is going to be running up and down the entire length of the plane for the 2.5 hours of the flight.
Underrated how important that intercom is, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, the trust that is built between you and a pilot over that space and time.
Just side note, I was once on an aeroplane where the pilot came over the speaker... And he literally just said, whoops. And that was it.
and
that was as we were getting on the plane, everyone's trying to find their seat, doing that awkward thing, fighting for space in the overhead compartment. Go, move your bag, move it. My bag has to go there. And he's just sitting there waiting, and the pilot just comes, oh, whoops.
And then
this is the man we trust to fly us 37,000 feet in the air. And he doesn't know, he just accidentally leant on the intercom button.
Either that or like everyone's head all of a sudden always turns to the speaker as well when that happens. It's like, thinking, it's like, what? Has he made a mistake on his like Sudoku?
Yeah.
Has he put the wrong word in his crossword?
Well, hopefully he's not doing Sudoku, but kind of everyone on the plane was kind of looking at it going, well, there's another flight going to our destination in 2 hours. Might just move myself to that flight, actually.
Simo and Jordan.
Simo and Jordan are right here with you, and I'm going to do you a favour, Jordan.
Okay.
I'm going to say it is a surprise that you are single because you are a wizard in the kitchen.
Okay.
You are fantastic. You know how to cultivate a dish, ensure that it has the finest spices and sauces involved.
When you said you were going to do me a favour, not going to lie, I was hoping you'd do my laundry for me, but
nope.
I'm a bit worried now.
No, I'm just being your wingman. I'm just helping you out.
Okay.
Right?
Why do I all of a sudden feel very concerned about what's coming up? Because, Simo, I can see the picture which is on your screen over there.
Yeah.
It is of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 buff topless men.
Semi-naked.
Yes.
Forget about that. That's just my own personal viewing.
Okay.
No. So it does involve this particular story where, well, first and foremost, what did you have for dinner last night?
I had a very romantic dinner last night.
What did you have?
Frozen fish.
Nice. Was there some, did you do soy sauce, tartare?
Soy sauce?
Yeah, what did you do with your
what
fish?
What are you, animal? Do you have fish and chips and get soy sauce with it?
Well, I'm just saying, I didn't know what kind of fish it was. It was frozen. It could have been any kind of fish.
To be fair, I don't know what fish it was. It said it had a lemon herb crumb on it.
Okay, right. So did you do a sauce or not?
I did go tartare sauce.
You did go tartare.
Yes.
Brilliant.
The traditional seafood sauce.
Now, you like your seafood.
I do.
I have noted. The sushi.
Okay, yeah.
You're into it?
I don't mind sushi,
I've seen you roll it. You're quite good.
I wouldn't say quite good.
You're passable.
That's what all my teachers said at school. This is passable.
He passes, needs to show more effort.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty standard. So there is a Japanese sushi owner business who he's had a massive downturn because of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his business would normally make $940,000 Australian dollars between... Well, April, June, July. So like that three-quarter
period. I need to open a sushi shop.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Possible sushi on offer.
We probably wouldn't call it that. I think that would be the best.
Jordan's Passable Sushi.
Jordan, it's okay, I guess.
Yeah, share with a friend. There you go. Look at that.
It's semi-passable. Yeah. Well, don't share with a friend because of COVID-19.
COVID-19, yeah.
Your own and stay hygienic.
So... he has this time around, he has made 10% of what he would normally make.
Okay.
This time around. Now, because of that, he's dropped his staff from 50 to just 4, and he's had to kind of innovate in how he can get his sushi in more homes.
Right.
So what he has come up with, he is like, oh, hell, like, oh, what's some kind of business model that I can really make it attractive for people to buy my sushi?
Okay.
And what he has come up with is the hard... ripped bodies of bodybuilding, like, delivery men.
Okay.
So you can now order this sushi to be delivered by a smoking hot bodybuilder to your door.
Okay. I can see the target market that he's going for.
Yeah.
Can we say?
Yeah, for sure.
Do they have to be... Because I'm assuming that's the advertising poster that you've got on your screen there of the 6 topless buff men.
It's called Delivery Macho.
Do they deliver it topless or not?
They do.
Okay, well, you hope it's not a cold day or something like that.
Well, no, it just means that...
It's snowing outside. Oh, well, do you... Can I put a jacket on, boss? Nah.
Nah, everything... Nah, keeps everything tight in the cold, Jordan.
Fair enough. So this guy, so he started doing this delivery with hot topless guys.
That's it, Delivery Macho, delivering your sushi to your door.
And has he seen, have we got the results?
He's had a huge upturn in business.
Okay.
If it works, it works.
There you go, it's worked.
Yep.
Simo, at the start of this, you said that you were going to be my wingman and
that's right.
I am single, you were going to potentially find me a partner.
Look.
How?
They are looking...
Because at the moment, I'm seeing a lot of buff guys delivering sushi topless.
There is one more... They are advertising need one more macho man delivery boy.
Simo, look at the people in there. They are ripped. They've got six packs. They're tanned.
Yeah, but you
they're all of that. Look, I've got a dad bod and I'm in my mid-20s.
Got the keg. But you offer diversity is what you offer.
Very niche market.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I want to talk about the wonderful world of Harry Potter.
It was Dobby's birthday earlier this week.
What's it?
Master has given Dobby a sock.
How does Dobby have a birthday? How do you know that?
Hey, equal rights for house elves, buddy.
No, let's not get into this.
So, why are we talking about Harry Potter?
Well, Simo, we are not talking about Dobby's birthday.
Okay.
But what I want to talk about is a Guinness World Record that has been broken to do with Harry Potter.
Mm.
An international group of Harry Potter fans have come together to virtually break the Guinness World Record for the most people to simultaneously board a broom.
Ooh.
As if they were going to fly around... Perhaps play Quidditch in the Harry Potter universe.
Very cool. I think that is a sport as well now.
Yeah, it's a lot less cool than in the movies, though.
Yeah.
Quidditch is an actual sport, but it's just a lot of people running around with a broomstick between their legs.
Funny, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really odd.
Some people just grab the broomstick and just run with it. It's like, it's never. But Simo, people from over 40 different countries participated in this, including Britain, India, Spain, Canada, Australia as well. Simo, so Guinness World Record for the most people simultaneously getting on a broom. How many people do you reckon?
Let's go 5,000.
5,000,
yeah. Is this across worldwide?
Yeah, completely worldwide,
all right, over the world. Let's go big. Let's go bold, shall we? All right, let's go 100,000.
You've gone over, which, don't get me wrong, Simo, I knew you were going to do, because, yeah, spoiler alert, the amount of people that are doing this is embarrassingly small.
Good.
Even 5,000 is a ridiculous overshoot.
Really?
Do you want to have another go?
There's a lot of people in the world.
Do you want to have another go? Considering 5,000 is ridiculously over.
I would have got involved if I knew this was happening. Oh, let's go 25.
133.
Ah, not bad.
133 people simultaneously got on a Zoom or a live stream call and got on their broom.
Decent turnout.
Now, Simo, you said it yourself just a few moments ago.
Yeah.
I would have done it myself if I had known it was happening.
Yeah, did I know it was on?
No. I didn't know it was on either.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, you know, these people have just broken the world record. They're obviously very happy about that.
Right.
However, Simo.
Yeah.
It's 133 people.
Yeah. It's doable.
Very much doable. Like, I know they're obviously celebrating. Yes, we got the world record. I don't want to come in and, like, swan it and take it straight away. What part of the song is this? This far along in the song in the movies. I've never heard it before.
It's worth mentioning. It's like, do you reckon they actually had 150? But the moderator's gone through. Is like, right, that's a mop. No, that's not. That's just a. What is that? Is that a javelin?
Well, yes. A javelin. That was the only other long stick that you could think of.
Javelin.
How many javelins do you have in your house just lying around? Even Olympic javelin throwers probably don't keep javelins in their houses.
Yeah, you do make an excellent point. It's like, that's a mop. That's a. Where did this kid get?
If it was 133 people simultaneously riding a javelin, that would make sense, because I would go, yeah, who the hell has a javelin?
More impressive as well, eh?
But Simo, yeah, so 133 people broke this record.
Yeah.
I reckon that's doable.
Yeah, very much so.
However, you've also hit on a little problem that I was also going to bring up.
Which is what?
I don't have a broom at home.
Oh, really?
Do you?
Yeah, I've got a spare.
Okay, you got a spare.
Dyson vacuum as well, which is definitely...
No, well, that doesn't work. It has to be a broom.
It's ballpark.
Yeah, but so is a javelin.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.